Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Pure Dog Talk is sponsored by ChampionshipBreeders.com. Championship Breeders is a proud supporter of the American Kennel Club, our specialty and all breed clubs, our dog sports, and the gifts of therapy and service from our canine companions. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk, the podcast on purebred dogs. I'm your host, Laura Reeves. Today, we are going to work through some of the most common problems that are encountered in the show ring. Anybody, and I do mean anybody, beginner to master, can run into these issues. We're always trying to find a solution or a way to handle some of these things that happen all of the time to anybody. One of the toughest things that people run into, particularly I think more beginner exhibitors with new dogs, is how to show the bite and have the dog not pull away or be concerned about the judge up in their mouth. And I have watched the most amazing wrestling matches, these poor dogs and the person's trying to drop the leash and the dog's running away and it's just a mess. The very first problem with that is that it makes dog shows not fun. It's not fun for your dog. It's not fun for you. It's not fun for the judge. It's not fun for anybody. Secondly, this is going to make it a little more difficult for you to win because this is not leaving that good first impression. This is a pretty easy solve, frankly. You can practice this at home. You can practice this at the dog show. The first place that you're going to start is preventing the problem in the first place. Dogs need to be trained from when they're babies. Start with your puppy. Every single day, you're in your puppy's mouth. You're opening that mouth up, checking the bite. This is easy. You're very gently just lifting their little tiny puppy lips. And that's how you start. And you do that every day so that the concept of someone touching their mouth isn't bizarre. If you want, you can take an opportunity to check out the podcast that we have, Growing Up Your Show Dog. And this will have some more tips on socializing your young dog to get it ready for the ring. But in the meantime, you really need to be teaching your puppy that you or any random stranger can open their mouth and it's okay. The other thing that you need to remember, if you have a breed that needs to have their mouth opened all the way, say a Doberman or a Rottweiler, German Shepherd, Sharpei, that they need to look at the color of the tongue, those sorts of things, practice that also. Start practicing it as early as you can get your hands on that puppy. And you start the first day. Teeth, open their little lips up. Teeth, good boy, here's a cookie. So prevention is 90% of the cure in this case. Start taking him to handling class. You start taking him different places. And if you have someone that you're with or that is at the handling class, they'll know how to do this. Someone who can properly just open the dog's mouth, look at the bite, yay, good boy, and he gets praise and he gets a treat. All of these things, you just are going to keep building on this like you do anything else, a little bit at a time. Open the mouth, look at the teeth, good boy. Open the mouth, lift the lips on each side, good boy. The more you do this, you're not going to run into a problem when you get to that first dog show and your dog goes sideways. So if we haven't managed to get to the prevention and we're now at the problem part, make a point of getting to the dog show early. Ask every single human that you can talk to quickly check your dog's bite. When your dog's bite is being examined, you can be super helpful to the dog by how you are holding the dog's collar and leash and your mental and physical body language. If you're nervous about this, the dog's going to be nervous about it as well. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, make sure that if you have a dog that you know has an issue with someone coming up to their mouth, you can offer to show the bite first. Many times in current dog show times, AKC is strongly encouraging the exhibitor to show the bite rather than have the judge look. But that doesn't happen every time. So ask, can you show the dog's bite? Then you're prepared. The dog is prepared. The dog is probably more comfortable with you showing the bite. You need to know how to properly show the bite so that the judge can see the teeth. You need to make sure you tip the dog's head up just a little bit. Gently, with your right hand, raise the lips up so they can see the top incisors. If need be, you can use your left hand, or preferably you can use another finger on your right hand to lower the lower lip. So what they need to be able to see is that that is a scissors bite or an undershot bite or whatever is proper for your breed. So know how to show your breed's bite. And if you need to use both hands, my favorite technique, you take that collar, you put it right behind their ears, and you run the thumbs of both hands down. When you come up underneath the dog's jaw, you have a collar with a little bit of pressure at the back of the dog's neck. You have your thumbs in the collar, and you can use the other fingers of both hands to lift the lips to show the bite while still maintaining control of your dog. Here's a big problem that I see when people are wrestling around with their dog. They've dropped the leash and the dog's collar is on its shoulders and the dog's like, what in the world are you doing? Maintain control of your dog. Go back to that part where we talked about hand stacking in one of our podcasts about head controls the body. You should be able to control that dog's head and have it stand still. If you've been practicing your hand stacking, this is going to come naturally. So you're at the dog show. You've had everybody check your dog's bite. You're maintaining control of the dog. Each time you have a new person come in and check on it, stack your dog up just like you're in the ring. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, stack the dog up. Ask that the person come from the front. Your volunteer approach the dog from the front because that's almost always going to be more comfortable for the dog than the judge that comes in from the side. And if the dog fights with you or pulls away from this exam, just stop. Just start over. Try to really avoid a harsh correction because we want the dog to be more comfortable, not less comfortable. Once they've done it right, you praise, what a good boy, and you do it over again. My preference is to try and get 3 solid or reasonably solid performances in a row where the dog holds still and allows you to show the bite before you have to go in the ring. So this is why I say, make sure you're there early, spend your time properly, and please remember what goes on in your head, goes on in your gut, goes right down the leash, and if you're nervous, the dog will be as well. Practice your calm. Find your zen. This is very important. Next one on this kind of goes together. The idea that the dog is backing away from the entire exam. So it might be the mouth. It might be another part of what the dog doesn't want to have happen to them. It might be you a little bit. It might be the dog a little bit. And it might be how the judge is coming up to the dog. All of these can come into play when a dog wants to back away from any part of the exam. So we have to kind of narrow that down and take a look at it in all of its components to see where and what needs to be fixed. Number one, a confident handler makes a confident dog. Unfortunately, the opposite is also true. Even I've had people tell me, nope, I'm cool as a cucumber, I'm not nervous in the ring, and I watch them tighten their hand on the collar when the judge comes to examine the dog. The dog is reacting to your body language. You need to keep that in mind. What are you doing? What are your cues to your dog that you don't even maybe realize? And have someone watch you and see, are you choking the dog out all of a sudden because you're afraid it's not going to stand up? Well, guess what? It's probably not going to stand up. This I can't stress enough times. The dog takes his cue from you. They will follow the leader. If you are confident and you are comfortable and you are secure and you transmit that to the dog in your body language, your hands, your mindset, the dog is going to be much more liable to stand up and accept the examination from the judge. Now, there are occasionally judges, and I've run into them, who dogs find intimidating for many reasons. Some of these judges don't have good hands on the dog. Some of the judges are just physically imposing. Some of the judges want to make direct staring eye contact. These things happen, and you need to be able to proof your dog to accept the examination from anybody, whether they're heavy-handed or have beautiful hands on the dog. So that's where your training and your confidence come in. We've got a couple different things that we can do to mitigate when the dog is backing away. And this is something that I've personally done a lot of. Unfortunately, I kind of tend to get problem dogs. So we make sure that we practice a lot. Happy practice. You are happy. Your voice is happy. Yay! And the dog is having fun and having a positive experience. That is something that we can be in charge of. And then we don't have to let the circumstances of what else is going on around us impact our dog's performance. We also talked in a previous podcast about the watch command. And that's something that is really, really useful in this particular incident. And you can absolutely teach that away from home, at the dog show, wherever. Watch me. Teach the dog, watch me as a command with a food reward, and that will help them overcome their nerves about someone coming to examine them. And here's the thing that I think a lot of people, I don't know, maybe forget, maybe don't think about, but when you're training any dog, pet dog, show dog, doesn't matter, but especially an insecure dog that you're trying to have shown, there's three things that are the most critical aspects of dealing with that. You have to be firm, you have to be fair, and you have to be consistent. So what I mean by that, firm, if you need to give a dog a correction, and now I'm not talking necessarily as regards the being examined, but in any training situation, if you need to correct the dog, you need to time it properly. And you need to give one quick, firm correction, and you need to not have 12,000 nagging, whining, no, bad dogs. Firm, boom, no, move on. You also need to make sure that you're only giving a correction to a dog that knows it's made a mistake. If the dog doesn't understand what you're asking it to do and you are correcting it, they're confused. And for an insecure dog, that's a terrible thing. And it's also unfair. So that goes into the fair part. Firm, fair. Only make a correction that the dog understands it's done something wrong. And if you can't be certain that you have trained the dog to understand what stay means, for example, it is unfair to give him a correction for not staying, if that makes sense. And consistent means that your corrections are made every time, particularly for an insecure dog, but this is true for all dogs. Yay, good boy, jump up on me, kiss me, mommy loves you. And the next morning when you come out in your work clothes, wait, no, bad dog, get off me, you filthy beast. That doesn't work for a dog. They don't understand that. Consistency is probably the single most undervalued training method that I can talk to you about. If this behavior is okay, it's okay every time. If this behavior is not okay, it is not okay every time. Consistency is the best solution to training problems with an insecure dog. As a little bit of a side note, I might put this out there. In our sport, sometimes we need to think about the dogs we're exhibiting. I get paid to fix a lot of problem behaviors, and that's great. That's job security for me. And I can usually solve some of those issues. But when you have a dog that's shy or nervous or terrified or aggressive or any combination of that and doesn't respond well to a change in handling or a change in environment, we need to just keep in mind that these dogs are being evaluated for inclusion in a breeding program. If they can't adjust to the minimally invasive hands-on contact by a competent and friendly stranger, it's time to rethink whether they need to be shown at all. We live in a lawsuit-happy world. We need to really consider temperament and the genetic component of it as we move forward in our breeding programs. And if a dog has to be held together with glue or cotton balls, it is not a good representative of its breed, and it's doing the breed and anybody's breeding program a disservice. Next on the list of really common problems that we run into is pacing. This is what happens when you're moving a dog and the dog, instead of trotting nicely next to you, is sort of lurching and you're looking at it like, what is wrong with you? And basically, pacing is a mode of travel, if you will, that is easy for some dogs. It might be that the dog isn't built just right, or it might be that the dog's just kind of lazy, to be honest with you. And when a dog paces, the legs on each side of the dog move forward at the same time. So rather than right, front, left, rear coming together, and then left, front, right, rear, the dog will carry both the right front and the right rear, and then the left front and the left rear together. And so when they're doing that, their body is shifting, their back is going crazy, and this isn't something that you want to have the judge see, because it's incorrect movement. you will feel that incorrect movement. You should be able to feel that on the leash. It's very awkward and it's very obvious to anybody that's an experienced observer. Training a dog not to pace and correcting it in the ring are very valuable skills for anybody. Again, from the very beginner to a very master, being able to fix this is a big deal. When you're training your show puppy, the dog should be moved with someone watching. If you can't automatically feel that pace, you need to make sure someone's watching to tell you if the dog is pacing. If the dog is pacing, it's your job to give a little bit of a lift to adjust his balance. You can do this with the leash and collar. Just lift a little bit before you go. If the dog has a beard, you can kind of grab his beard and scuffle him a little bit. That works. But both when you're training and when you're in the ring, you have a dog that you know paces. I do a courtesy turn. So you've seen people, you go in front of the judge after your exam, you're getting ready to move on your down and back. You go behind the judge, and by the time you are moving forward in the down part, if you will, of your down and back progress, the dog should be then moving in a proper and a smooth manner. And while I normally like to train the dogs to go in a 1-2-3, like 1-2-3 go in a gradual increase, with a pacing dog, what you're trying for is 1-2-lift go. So with that big courtesy turn, your ideal thing that happens is that lift happens behind the judge's peripheral vision. Every single dog I've worked with that paces is different on this. Some of them will pop right out of it. Some of them can be trained out of it. I've had some that could go from a trot to a pace while moving. It can be very frustrating, and I understand that. But basically, if you keep the dog moving, in other words, on your down and back, for example, you've gotten him into a proper trot and you've turned to come back, most of the time, I'll stop at the end of that and I'll kind of settle the dog and readjust. With a dog that's pacing, man, I'm just turning and going. Because as soon as you let that dog stop, you're going to have to restart him to keep him from pacing. Everything that we're doing to keep the dog in a proper movement, we need to know the dog and we need to practice so that the dog knows what it should be doing. And keep in mind, there's not any perfect dogs in any way. You need to know what's good about your dog and what's bad about your dog. Every dog has faults. None of them are perfect. And your job is to learn how to present your dog in his very best light. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.